The Switch emulator is dead. Apple was fined $2 billion and NVIDIA says you can't do what everybody wants to be able to do. Gosh dang it, NVIDIA. Let's get into the hot news, everybody. I'm your Brett host. We're going to be going over the hottest tech news that I can find on the internet while you enjoy your breakfast this Tuesday, March 5th, 2024. We're going to start off today with the bombshell news that came out yesterday from the Yuzu emulator. You may remember that they were being sued by Nintendo for an undisclosed amount of money because of their Switch emulator. And turns out that Yuzu has decided to just get this done and over with and have agreed that they will pay Nintendo $2.4 million to settle this lawsuit. But it's not just the money that happened to change hands. It turns out that they will also shut down their Switch emulator, their 3DS emulator. They agreed that Yuzu is primarily designed to circumvent and play Nintendo Switch games. They also agreed to be permanently enjoined from working on Yuzu, hosting Yuzu, distributing the coder features, hosting websites and social media that promote it, or doing anything else that circumvents Nintendo's stuff there. And they will be surrendering the yuzu-emu.org domain name, and they will agree to delete all of the copies of everything that have led to any sort of circumvention of any device ever, saying that it violated Nintendo's IP rights, and Yuzu actually agrees. So they informed their community of all of this, that they're making the payment, that they are shutting everything down. And one of the key questions that was going into this lawsuit, a lot of people were talking about how this could be a big deal if Yuzu wins, because you don't have to actually have anything from the Switch. You bring your own BIOS to it, so everything's fine. But because Yuzu decided to settle this directly with Nintendo, it's not quite clear how all of this is going. But in the agreement between these two companies, they are asking a federal judge to agree to the statement that developing or distributing software, including Yuzu, that in its ordinary course functions only when cryptographics are integrated without authorization, violates the Digital Millennium Copyright Act's prohibition on trafficking in devices that circumvent effective technological measures, because the software is primarily designed for the purpose of circumventing technology. Measures. So in the agreement, they're essentially saying that yes, even though you have to BIOS dump your own hardware, the whole point of this software is to circumvent Nintendo's ability to maintain control over their own hardware, and that likely this is fostering piracy. So you may disagree with this, but Yuzu decided that the simplest and easiest and potentially best method for them is to just go ahead and kowtow to a Nintendo and get this all taken care of. Let me know what you think of this. This is a pretty big situation that happened. Yuzu's been around for many years. It's weird to see this all happen so quickly. I want to hear from you down below in the comments. Well, it turns out the Yuzu Nintendo situation is not the only legal issue that happened yesterday. It turns out that the EU is fining Apple $2 billion for blocking alternative music apps and violating anti-steering laws that were in place. So this is 1.8 billion euro or $1.95 billion because Apple doesn't easily disclose how, when it comes to third-party music subscription services, you could potentially pay a cheaper price if you went to the website or otherwise instead of directly through Apple's own app store. And that Apple banned app developers from telling the users about this, and that caused all of the issue. There was actually a previous report that indicated that Apple was going to get hit with a 500 million euro fine, but it turns out that this one was actually much bigger, specifically that this fine could be sufficiently deterrent to prevent Apple from doing this ever again. Whether or not that's going to stop them, who knows? Apple's already appealing the decision. They likely don't want to pay that amount of money, but it's interesting to see how much the EU is holding companies like Apple to task for certain practices that have been standardized over the last 10 years. But what you don't have to wait 10 years for is the MSI Claw, because we got reveals from Newegg indicating that this bad boy's coming out on Friday here in the US. It's been revealed that it's coming out in other regions at a different time. Over on Newegg, it indicates that if you want to get the Ultra 7 version with 512 gigs of storage, that's going to be coming out on Friday. However, you can't pre-order it, but you can pre-order the Ultra 5 version with that same amount of storage for $699. However, that comes out the following Friday on March 15th, and the Ultra 7 with 1 terabyte storage is also on the 15th for $799 over on Newegg's website. In case you want to check it out, let me know if you're interested in picking up the MSI Claw, and I want Reese to be interested in giving you deals. That's his job.
Yo, welcome back to You Have to Deals, bringing the hottest tech deals out on the internet. Hope you guys are doing well. And hey, deals.
Starting off today, we have the Cooler Master Hyper 212 Halo CPU Air Cooler, available in white for only $23.99 with the coupon applied, making it $21 off. Then next up, we have the Evercool Deepcool Matrix 40 Micro ATX case, available for only $37.99, making it $13 off. And then lastly, the staple, the Xbox Wireless Controller, available in black and other colors for only $44.99, making it $15 off. I know some of you break your controllers. Okay, I'll give it to you. I do get stick drift on mine, so I'll give you a pass. Controller breakers. And hey, them's the deals. You can find these and more linked in the video description down below. But until next time, I'm going to hand you off back to Brad for the rest of your art news. Cheers.
Apple's got a deal for everybody. They soft launched a new MacBook Air, both in the 13 and 15 inch variety. They're going to have the new M3 chips as well as a faster Wi-Fi chip. And Apple is saying that this is the best consumer laptop for AI, thanks to the fact that you have the neural engine that's on the M3 chip, which is not necessarily the most audacious thing for them to say. Like, obviously, an RTX 4090 based laptop is probably going to be better when it comes to tensor processing. But in terms of how many laptops Apple's going to sell with the MacBook Air, they're probably going to make it a lot more readily accessible with the neural engine that's in the M3. So, well, I wouldn't say it's the greatest one, but could it be the best because of the volume and the accessibility? Who knows? It's going to start at $1,099 for the M3. The M2 got lowered to $999, and they discontinued the M1 that had the previous design. But one of the most hilarious things was a lot of people were celebrating the fact that the M3 MacBook Air could now drive two displays because the previous one could only do one external display. However, it turns out that you have to close the lid, so you still effectively only get two displays, and then you can't use the trackpad or the keyboard on the laptop. So you get the same amount of displays, and nothing has changed. It has, just a little bit. I do wonder, are there that many legitimate use cases where an external monitor is going to be better than having one on your laptop and one external? I'm not sure. Let me know what you think. But speaking of putting AI into various places, AMD CTO Mark Papermaster talking in an interview that AMD is looking to potentially integrate AI for upscaling gaming technologies in 2024, and that this year is really a huge deployment year. So this led to a lot of speculation about, is this tech going to be used in something like the PS5 Pro? Could we see this happen in the RX 8000 series, especially as NVIDIA's technology utilizes Tensor Cores to upscale DLSS? It's been something that AMD has kind of shied away from, not using specific AI-based cores. Could we start seeing an AI FSR that's being implemented on new cores that AMD is putting into their GPUs so that AMD can start competing on the AI side of things? Was AI really good for gaming all along? Who knows? And was LUDA good for everybody all along? We talked about this in a previous episode of Hot News, that Intel and AMD had a framework to translate CUDA over to their GPUs. This is a big deal because a lot of professional applications use a CUDA framework, but you can only run that on NVIDIA GPUs. So there was this interface known as LUDA, which allowed you to use it on Intel, potentially even AMD, get all of this running on the competitors' cards. But NVIDIA does not want that to happen, and they have banned translation layers for CUDA software moving forward for anybody who's developing CUDA-based software. Now, one of the intriguing things here is that this has not been in NVIDIA's for all of their CUDA-based development, and it's only being implemented in CUDA 11.6 and newer. So if you've been developing on a previous version of CUDA, you don't have to worry about this. But moving forward, it appears that they don't want this, with certain software engineers saying that the EULA says you may not reverse engineer, decompile, or disassemble any portion of the output generated using SDK elements for the purpose of translating such output artifacts to target a non-NVIDIA platform. So it's clear that NVIDIA is a little upset with all of the Zeluda work that's been going on, as well as there's been some Chinese companies that have been trying to get CUDA to work on their GPUs. It appears that NVIDIA still wants to have that walled garden. They want to have this all built up. They want to make sure that Intel and AMD, even though they might be able to technically run it, they're not allowed to. You have to just deal with Team Green, suckling all your cash. This is also, again, after reports that have come out that NVIDIA is strong-arming AI companies into buying from them. If they catch a whiff that they're looking at anybody else, they're going to start delaying their order and making it more difficult for them to get access to the hardware. Something like this is just of a similar vein. They already have the competitive advantage. Anything that would run on a translation layer typically would run slower. So you still have an incentive to buy Team Greet. You still have that incentive to go with the native hardware. It's just that it makes it more accessible for plenty of other people. And if NVIDIA hates anything, it is accessibility and the ability to be open to the good of humanity. They're Team Green for a reason. They got to get all of that cash. Maybe that's a little skeptical. Maybe my opinion's a little too feisty. You let me know in comments and I'm going to respond to your comments from yesterday's episode. We got Nuka saying, we going to be needing 3000 watt PSU soon. They're getting close. You can get them, especially if you're over in the EU regions, like 2500, 2600 watts. It's possible. Aiden Guitar saying, I'm your Brett host. That's great. Crying while laughing face emoji. Yes, I've been saying that for years. I mistakenly said it once because I used to say I'm your host, Brett, and then I slipped up. And then many people called me out for it, and then I kept it. And that's what we're here doing. We got GLW saying, Fisker makes good scissors. That's about it. Not the same company, but I see what you're getting at. And then Treasley saying, I think Brett and the team need to do an episode on what games per gaming generation they've loved, growing up, now, etc. I would love this. We're not going to do a whole episode, but I'll bring Kyler in to do it right now for comment response. Kyler!
Yo!
How long have you been standing there? How long? The whole time? Have you been not getting work done for 14 minutes?
I've been there for about 30 seconds.
You got me. All right. What games per gaming generation do you love?
Per gaming generation.
Yeah, start with your first console or PC, I guess. I don't know.
I think I had a PlayStation 1 was the first console I had. Disney's Atlantis: The Lost Empire for PlayStation 1. Is Game Boy next?
If it was for you.
Okay, Game Boy game. I played the Super Mario, the remake of the SNES one.
Feels like you're asking me, and I did not grow up.
I need help enunciating. Oh, wait. I also had, that was Game Boy Advance. I had Game Boy Color. That I had Pokemon Special Yellow. The one with Pikachu.
Pikachu.
That was my favorite.
The surfing Pikachu.
Yes. I don't know why he was surfing. I had a GameCube. GameCube. Pikmin 2. Pikmin 2 was lit. PS2. Jack 2, obviously. I had an Xbox 360. What stuck out the most to me is probably either like Assassin's Creed 2, Bioshock, or some other third thing. I had it in mind. Batman Arkham Asylum.
There you go.
I had DS, Deep Cut, Spectrobes. That was a good DS game. What games came out for the Wii?
Sports.
Zelda Twilight Princess for Wii, because it was, you might think that it was the re-release of the GameCube version, but I'm pretty sure they came out at the same time. PS4, Monster Hunter World. Does 3DS count?
If they had separate games, I guess. I didn't have a 3DS, so I don't...
Animal Crossing for 3DS. Switch.
Breath of the Kingdom.
Yeah, whatever that
is. Tears of the Wild.
Everybody's favorite. PS5? That's tricky.
No, that came out for the PS2.
Probably my favorite game I played on PS5. Ragnarok. God of War.
Very solid.
Okay.
Mine? Oh, were you going to bow out?
Yeah.
You're not going to be here for it? Yeah, that's fine.
You don't matter.
All right. I think my first console was the Game Boy Pocket, which I got Pokemon Red for. Enjoyed the heck out of that. Then I got an upgraded Game Boy Color when Pokemon Silver, Gold, and Crystal came out.
Mm.
And I played the heck out of Crystal. Love that game.
I always wanted Crystal because I convinced myself in my mind that it was different than the other ones for some reason.
It's slightly different. Like, Suicune's the main dog.
No, I thought it was like, ooh, this is the one where they're not little tiny people.
it was not that. And then I did not have a Game Boy Advance or any following Game Boy. And then I had a PlayStation 1. Final Fantasy VIII was the first game I got for that. My parents brought me a PlayStation 1 and Final Fantasy VIII, and I think Gran Turismo 1. And I loved Gran Turismo from that moment forward. Final Fantasy VIII was great. I think those would be my top from PS1. For PS2, Final Fantasy X, Jack 2, San Andreas. It's too young for that game, but I played the heck out of it.
I played some of 10 until I got stuck.
I was older.
Just remember, when it came out, yeah. I remember Blitzball.
You were 4 years old when that game came out.
I didn't get it when it was new.
Then I had a PS3 that I co-owned with my best friend in high school, and I played the crap out of Metal Gear Solid 4, but I don't remember a single thing about it, and then I also played a lot of Guitar Hero on that console. I did not own another game for that. And then I didn't have a console for a while. I didn't have a PS4. I got a PS4 Pro in 2015, which is actually on this channel, but in the meantime, I was playing on PC. I got my first gaming experience on a PC. Neopets. That I put so many hours into Neopets.
That's not gaming. That's the metaverse.
You're right. I was a progenitor of the metaverse with Neopets. I liked a lot of the like old school Windows games. Like there was a pirate one that I can't really remember too much about. There was that one with the guy who's on skis and like you're skiing downhill and then there's an abominable snowman that'll catch up to you and eat you. Like those?
I don't know those, but I want to add my childhood PC gaming was the Humongous Entertainment games.
Oh, like Pajama Sam?
Backyard Baseball, Backyard Football, Pajama Sam, Putt-Putt, Freddy Fish.
PS2, NFL Street?
I played it.
Oh, so good. Had so much fun playing NFL Street. Also, I played a lot of like Madden games, like along the years. Not Madden. There was that one by 989 Sports. I think it was NFL Blitz. I'm not entirely sure.
Is football the one with
and
the
then
spherical ball?
When I got a gaming PC, I put the most hours into Team Fortress 2. That was high school. And then I went to college, got married, didn't have money for a gaming PC for a very long time. For many years. And then this channel started when I could afford a gaming PC again. That is literally the origination of me. Like, I built a gaming PC to move to South Africa. And then from there, not a whole lot of gaming on the PC. Like, here and there, but mostly console games that have come out for PC. Mm-hmm. So PS4 Pro, Final Fantasy 15, God of War. I liked Horizon Zero Dawn. That one was really good. I would say those are probably top. Then for PS5, Ragnarok makes top list. Final Fantasy 16 was great. I'm big into Final Fantasy. Not like a super... How did I forget Kingdom Hearts on the PS2? You kidding me? Well, Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2. Oh my goodness. I played so much that Kingdom Hearts 3 was such a disappointment. I had kids. I was like excited for them to get to experience it. And there's not a single Final Fantasy character in Kingdom Hearts 3. They're all gone.
It's all Disney.
It's all Disney in Kingdom Hearts 3. It's the worst. The best part of Kingdom Hearts when I was like, oh, that's Squall from Final Fantasy VIII. And he's calling himself Leon because he's like all cranky and old and like trying to be mature. And then Cloud's in there. You can fight Sephiroth. It's great. And then freaking Final Fantasy XIII is like, you got Roxas and Sora. It bothered me. I'm enjoying Final Fantasy VII Remake right now. Gonna play Rebirth later today. There you go, finally. And that's it. That wraps up my gaming history. I'm sure there's a lot more games in between that I am forgetting.
What's a game?
Unvibable. See you tomorrow.